Old lady shoes. We always tried to make our shoes last until school was out in the spring. But mine just couldn't hang on that long. So Dad caught a ride to Springfield, about 30 miles away, to buy me some shoes. We didn't have a car, but Dad could easily catch a ride. I could hardly wait to see my new shoes. I hurried home from school as fast as I could. Dad finally made it and handed me that box with my new shoes inside. Opening the box was one of the biggest disappointments of my whole life, clear up until now. I used every ounce of everything within me to keep Dad from knowing that I could not like those shoes. They were black, with 1-inch heels, and the toes were pointed. They were made for a little old lady. Dad had found them in a clearance pile for 25 cents, and he was so short on money. So, at 8 years old, I knew I would have to wear those high-heel, pointed-toe, old woman shoes to school. I made sure Mom and Dad didn't see me cry. The next morning, I put the shoes on and ran around and around and around the house. Then I would stop and look to see how much I had worn off the heels. I thought by the time I walked 2 miles to school and climbed up on those great big rocks that we played on each day on our way home, those high heels would wear down and they would be all right, even though the toes would still be pointed. When we came to those big rocks, I would climb up on one and jump up and down, then look at the heels, and not one bit of difference could I see. I treated every big rock alike. I stomped and jumped up and down on each rock, then went on to school in my high heels. When I went inside the schoolhouse, I sat down and then leaned forward and pulled my full gathered skirt down over them shoes so no one could see them. Then my best friend's brother, George Cooksey, saw the pointed toes peeking out from under my dress. He pointed at them and laughed. That nearly killed me, but I knew his sister, my best friend Bessie Jewel, would not laugh at my pointed toes or my high heels. If Mom made me another pair of shoes out of Dad's worn-out overalls, I would have liked them better. Boils. The summer that followed my 9th birthday, I had 9 boils at once. Mom took a fresh beet from the garden, cut it in two, and scraped it with a knife. Then she piled that mushy stuff on my boils to pull them to a head so they would heal. Mom didn't know what caused the boils to break out on me. Dad said it was meanness coming out from inside me. I would have believed him if the boils had shown up right after he got me those ugly shoes, because I sure did not have a sweet spirit anywhere in me. Sleeping in the buggy. Some of the ideas that pop into the heads of children are strange and almost scary. When Leona was 7 and I was 10, one afternoon we decided that we wanted to sleep in the buggy that night. So right after supper, we grabbed 1 quilt and 2 pillows and headed for the barn where the buggy was parked. Actually, it was parked in an open-ended shed built onto the side of the barn. It was fairly dark in the shed, but on a moonlight night, it wasn't so bad. Just through the wall from the buggy was our corn crib. Dad always kept dry ears of corn in there, mainly to feed the horses. We didn't have a clock with us, so we had no idea what time it was, but we woke up hearing someone in our corn crib. They were talking in a very low tone, and we couldn't catch any of the words, more like just mumbling, and it sounded like they were walking over those dry, hard ears of corn. We listened a few minutes and then decided it was Dad in there, just trying to scare us. So we began yelling, "Oh yeah, you think you can scare us, but you can't. Oh yeah, you think you can scare us, but you can't." Things went completely silent in the corn crib. After a minute or two, we heard them slowly and very gently walking out of the barn. After a few more minutes of complete silence, 2 people appeared at the open end of the shed. They were trying to see us, but it was pretty dark back in that shed, and even darker in the buggy. We couldn't tell who it was, and we thought it had to be Dad and one of our brothers. But Dad and our brothers did not fit the description of either of those people. After standing there for 2 or 3 minutes, they turned and started walking away from us. They walked about 100 feet in plain sight in the dim light of the moon, and then they turned left. Our neighbors that always saved their newspapers for us lived 1 mile in that direction. We knew for sure that those two people were not our neighbors. We dearly loved those neighbors, and they loved us like we were part of their family. We finally went back to sleep. We awoke several times during the night, but we stayed with our buggy. The next morning we awoke earlier than our usual, climbed out of the buggy, and went to the house. Mom was in the kitchen cooking breakfast, and Dad was putting on his shoes at the other end of the kitchen. We began telling them about what we heard in the corn crib and about the two people we saw. Mom immediately said, "Oh, that was your dad and one of the boys." Dad didn't say a word, and he didn't crack a smile. Dad always teased us kids a lot, but when Mom told us something, we knew it was exactly as she said. So we believed what Mom said, and yet we were really stumped, because Dad and any one of our brothers did not fit the description of the people we saw. One was taller and slimmer than Dad, and the other seemed about 5 by 5. No one in our family was anyways near that size. About 30 years later, when Leona and I were at my folks' house in Dodge City one day, we talked again about our night in the buggy. We were still trying to figure out who those people were. And like before, Mom said, "Ah, that was your dad and one of the boys." Dad very seriously spoke up and said, "Mom, that wasn't me and one of the boys." I will never forget the look on Mom's face. Her eyes got so big and her mouth flew open. We knew she just then figured it out. Dad knew all along, but he couldn't let Mom know that her brother, our Uncle Jimmy, and his wife Helen were stealing corn from us. We knew then why Dad had always called her Battle Axe. She drove Uncle Jimmy. He was not the type to steal from anyone. We also realized they turned left that night just to throw us off. Uncle Jimmy and Aunt Helen lived to the right. So they turned left and walked until they figured Leona and I had not followed them. Then they angled back to the right and went home. We all felt so sorry for Mom because we knew she hurt to know that her brother would steal. And yet we all know that Battle Axe drove him and made him do it. Dad never did confront Uncle Jimmy about that. He thought keeping peace was more important than corn. I wish I had asked Dad if corn stopped disappearing from the corn crib after the night that Leona and I slept in the buggy. A Very Dumb Frog. Most frogs know to stay close to water. But one afternoon, while Mildred and I took a walk, we saw a great big frog crossing the wagon-made road right in front of us. We were about 1/8 of a mile from the river. We couldn't figure out why any frog would go that far from water. When he saw us, he got into high gear and soon was in the brush where we couldn't see him. Knowing how much Mom needed something to cook for supper, Mildred picked up a rock about the size of a man's fist and said, "I'm going to throw this rock into that brush. I just might hit him and kill him." So she threw the rock, and then we crawled through the fence and started looking for that frog. There he was. He had hopped his last hop, his head was caved in, and he was very freely bleeding. We took him to the house. Can't you just see 6 kids and Mom and Dad gathered around 1 frog? We were all as hungry as a bear after a long winter of hibernation. Well, that night we had frog gravy, with chunks of real frog all through the gravy and hot biscuits. Lots of times we didn't have what we wished for to eat, but I don't ever remember going to bed hungry. 5th grade. My 5th grade teacher hated me. His name was Mr. McColl. In all my 12 years of school, that was the only teacher I ever had that hated me. I had no idea why. I was the same good kid in 5th grade as I was in all the other years of school, but he still hated me. At home one day, I was sitting on the floor playing with something, and Emil sat near me playing with his pocket knife. The knife slipped while he had the longest blade open, and the point of the blade hit my left foot and went in pretty deep. My foot got really sore and red streaks ran from the wound. I thought I had blood poison. My foot was so sore I couldn't wear a shoe, but I still walked 2 miles to school. My foot felt better if I put it up in my seat instead of letting it hang down. I was not in an indecent position. My knee was flat on the seat, and my sore foot stuck slightly into the aisle. That teacher walked up from behind me and intentionally bumped my sore foot with his knee and knocked it off my seat. I almost fainted, but I left it down. It felt like it was killing me. One day he gave us a test. He said, "Now fold your paper in half, put your name at the top, and hold it until I call for it." I was getting bored waiting for him to call us to pass our paper to the front and decided to practice my spelling. I should have used a different sheet of paper, but I was a 10-year-old kid. I decided to just write down each student's name. If I wasn't sure how it was spelled, I skipped it and went on to the next one. I had 7 or 8 names written on the outside of my paper when the teacher asked us to pass our paper to the front. He must have looked at my paper first. He said,
"Mary, come here."
I got out of my seat and walked up front to his desk. He pointed to the few names I had scribbled on my paper. He said,
"Did you do that?"
I said, "Yes." He hauled off and slapped me so hard that he almost knocked me down. It really did hurt, but my pride was hurt more than my face. I happened to have my sister Mildred's name next to Roy Nunn's name, and he thought I was trying to make matches. Can you imagine a 10-year-old kid trying to make matches? I was so embarrassed because I knew the whole room full of students thought I must have written a dirty word or drawn a dirty picture. On the way home from school that day, I told my brothers and sisters why he slapped me. No one told Dad and Mom about it. Back in those days, all children believed that if you got whipped at school, you would get whipped again when you got home. I knew my brothers and sisters felt that the teacher can be wrong. I think now that if Dad had known what happened, he would have walked to school with me the next morning with a 5-foot hickory switch in his hand and would have beat the devil out of that rat. He would have had to dismiss school and go home and go to bed. Dad and Mom never did know what he did. I wish now I had told them. That teacher needed a hard whipping. He taught our school only 1 year. Lord, I'm late in saying thank you for not letting him come back to Glady Springs School. Henry's Laugh. My 7th and 8th grade teacher was Hiber Gatt, and he was a very nice teacher. He nearly always played games with us during the noon hour, after lunch, and at recess. The boys seemed to like baseball more than anything. One day they were playing baseball when one boy was in the field near a base. He bent down to tie his shoe. The ball flew to him just as he stood up from tying his shoe. That ball hit him smack dab in the middle of his forehead. My brother Henry saw the whole thing. He thought that was the funniest thing he had ever seen. He laughed all the rest of the day and laughed all the way home, 2¾ miles away. When we got home, Mom asked Henry, "What happened at school today that was so funny? I heard you laughing." Yes, she really did hear him from almost 3 miles away. People from every direction of that little one-room schoolhouse would ask the teacher, "Who is that boy that laughs so loud?" Every time Henry thought about that for the rest of his life, he would laugh. I wish you could have known him. He really did enjoy a big laugh. Everyone that heard him laugh would enjoy laughing with him. Scott Nixon. Scott Nixon was in the 3rd grade, chubby, short, and he could outrun everyone in school. One cold day, we all ate lunch inside the schoolhouse. We were all making lots of noise, and some were getting a little bit wild, but Mr. Gatt let us get by with it because it was too cold to go outside and get rid of energy. After we finished eating, one boy took his brown paper lunch sack and blew it full and tight with air. Then he smacked it hard and loud between his hands. At the same instant, another boy hit Scott in the stomach with his fist.
Louise Tuckness didn't see the boy pop his lunch sack, but she heard the pop and saw this other boy hit Scott, and she thought Scott's stomach burst. She jumped up quick as a flash, grabbed Scott, and ran out the door carrying him. He was kicking, trying to get loose, but Louise thought he was dying and maybe fresh air would help. She laid him on the ground, expecting his entrails to fall out. He jumped up and beat her back inside the schoolhouse. She was so embarrassed when she came back in behind him. If it hadn't been so cold, I'm pretty sure she would have stayed outside for a long time and hid. My sister Leona thought that was the funniest thing she had ever seen, and every time she thought about it, she would have another big laugh out of it, even 60 years later.